we were helping launch this book that I was featured in. It was really exciting. We were in the Bay Area where the author Shira Gill lives, and we had this fun event. So we were all there together, my CEO and then Stephanie Sikora and myself, and we just had a heart to heart and just said, you know, we've tried all these different ways to make this idea work, and it's just not working.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Nailed It podcast, where we dive into the stories behind the success of people in the construction and home improvement world. I'm your host, Brandon Jensen, and today's episode is one you will not want to miss. Imagine this, you're raising four kids, your husband has lost his job, and you're trying to figure out how to keep everything together. You're resourceful, thrifty, you have a knack for making things work, but the pressure is on. And then, just when the world turns upside down during COVID, you take a leap of faith and it works. That's the story of Jennifer Martin, the owner of Reset Your Nest, a professional home organization company. Growing up in a single parent home, Jennifer learned early on how to hustle, budget, and make the most of what she had. She turned her love for organization into a thriving business, helping people not just declutter their homes, but truly reset their lives. So get ready. This is Nailed It. So you have four kids?
I have four kids. Yeah.
And what are their ages?
My oldest is 16.
Okay.
He's an amazing free ride skier on the Altabur team. And
oh, very cool.
So maybe, you know, we'll see him in the Olympics someday. He's incredible.
Oh, that is awesome.
So that's a lot of fun. Amazing having a driver. Do you have kids who are...
So I don't have any kids. My girlfriend, she has a 19-year-old, about to be 19.
Okay.
So he drives.
Which, okay.
Yeah. When they don't drive,
it's hard. That age, like 14, 15, when they make all these plans and they just expect magically that they are going to get to where their destination, that's a rough age. So it's really fun having a driver. I have a 15-year-old son. He just got his learner's permit.
Okay.
He's a mountain biker, baseball player.
Pretty soon.
Yes, pretty soon. They're a lot of fun. My boys are so much fun. And then I have a 12-year-old girl.
Okay.
And then a 9-year-old girl. And
okay.
They're great. So we're at a really fun age.
So ages. I'm sure they're just all completely different, right? I mean, there's four in my family. There's four boys. We're as different as night and day. Which one of them have the organization bug?
It's funny because they've been raised by me. And yeah. So we are always going through their rooms and I'm teaching them systems and they know how systems function in our home.
Yeah.
And yet they're also very normal kids and also very different. So there are elements to each of their personalities that I know crave order and create it. And all of them actually will have times where they independently will go through their rooms and create systems. I only have one who's actually good at maintaining their systems though, consistently. And it's my youngest. It's my 9-year-old.
Okay.
Even just the other day, my hairdresser's son is in her school class at school. So okay. I was getting my hair done. I had not even heard about this from my daughter. I was getting my hair done and my hairdresser said, "So my son came home from school the other day and his backpack was full of all this stuff, like just so much stuff." So I was asking him what happened. And he was telling his mom that Liv's mom is a professional organizer. And so she told him that he needed to get his desk in order. So she spent all of recess going through his desk and helping him declutter. And it just made me laugh. So she's definitely, I guess, at school and at home, my most organized child.
Liv reminds me of me when I was young. I have buddies that still to this day, their moms will say, "I remember you coming to the house and cleaning Shane's room, cleaning Scott's room, organizing Gabe's room." Like,
that is amazing.
Because I couldn't, like, I'm coming in, like, "This is a mess. Why is it a mess? Why is things not put away?" And so it's definitely, I think,
that is amazing.
You know, for your kids, they've grown up with it. It's somewhat a learned trait, which I'm sure they'll be grateful for their entire lives. But then there's, you know, I think some people are just born with it. I imagine that's a little bit how you are.
Yeah, definitely. I was the same. I mean, I would babysit a lot during my teenage years and I enjoyed being with the kids. I would put them to bed, but also I think I had more fun, you know, organizing the toys and making sure the house was clean before people came home. And I got made fun of in college a lot with my roommates because my entire closet, you know, was the color in the order of the rainbow and everything was perfect. And I had my
same color hangers. Yeah. Same style hanger.
Order. Yeah. Just a little more orderly than your typical college dorm. So, just been a part of me my whole life for sure.
Yeah. So tell me, growing up, you mentioned that you grew up in a single parent home. And through that, you learned a lot from your mom, how to be creative, how to be frugal, how to be, you know, kind of talk to us a little bit about, you know, maybe how that paved the path to kind of guide you into the career path that you're in today.
Yeah, that's a really nice question. Just fun to think about and not something I think about every day. I'm really grateful. I'll like jump ahead and then I'll go back. My freshman year, I lived with one of my roommates. She's now as a designer with the Fox Group, like just incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Amazing style. She knew from the time she was like in preschool that she was going to become an interior designer. And so she was already in courses at BYU learning how to the prereqs to get into the design program. So lots of art classes and color theory. And I just remember looking at the things she was doing and thinking, I could never do that. Like, I have a math brain. I'm not creative. I wish I was creative. And I wish I had those thoughts because I do come from a family of designers and artists. My grandmother was an incredibly talented artist.
Okay.
My aunt's an interior designer. My grandma, she was really sick before she died for years and years. She had cancer. And I remember her being too sick to walk. And I was staying home from school to watch over her. And her like asking me to move a couch up the stairs because she wanted to rearrange the furniture and redecorate and restyle. It was just in her blood. It's what she wanted to do. And so,
and it made her happy.
And it made her happy. And so, I mean, that's the type of family my mom came from. And then my mom, was a single mom. And we lived in a small duplex all growing up. And it's amazing looking back on the pictures, even though they're very, you know, 80s, 90s style.
Yep.
She did so many creative things. We did so much to that space on a really tight budget to make it just feel beautiful and homey. People would always comment on how beautiful our home was. And yet most of the furniture was actually handmade from one of the guys my mom had dated. He like built the couch. You know, we whitewashed or we sponged painted.
Okay. Yeah. I remember the sponge.
You're probably not old enough to remember that era.
I might surprise you how old I am, but I do remember the sponge painting.
Yeah. But at that time it was a fun way to, you know, make your space look on trend.
Yeah.
Anyway, I grew up with that and it was really fun. We'd always paint and do things on a budget to make our home feel more like home. And my mom prioritized that. And so I had the organization element and then I grew up with a lot of this creativity.
Okay.
But jump back to, you know, freshman year of college, I never thought I had the creativity in my blood. I loved the design, but I never thought that I was capable of doing it. I was much more the right brain.
Yeah.
You know, order and function.
No chaos, order.
Yes.
We love math because there's an absolute. Four plus four equals eight.
Exactly. And I still do. And that comes into organization so much. It's so there's actually a lot of math in organization and figuring out, you know, the right dimensions and products. But it's been really fun with starting Reset Your Nest and this business. I've been able to explore and recognize that I can have both sides of the brain work and I can be really creative. And I think I know I've been influenced my whole life with really amazing, you know, mentors and examples for the creativity, the artistic side as well. So,
So was your mom quite organized as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So you obviously picked up some of that, you know, organization, a lot of the creativity, as I've looked at, you know, jobs that you guys have done and, and clients, we have some clients you did some work for and look at this. Yeah, this is labeled. This is like, everything has, and everybody in the house knows if they take it from here, this is where it goes. Like so the client I'm talking about, great, great people. Her name's Lisa. And she, was very happy to show everything and it looks beautiful. And so it's, everything looks kept and there is, in my opinion, as I look at it, just a tremendous amount of creativity from, the containers or the baskets or whatever you're using to kind of organize that. And then spatially getting it all, that's where I think maybe the math brain comes in and you're going, okay, I got 6 feet I got to deal with. And, how far apart do we want these things spaced?
Absolutely. And another level of creativity that I think has been really fun. And then also has really challenged my team is that we all know how we would do it in our home. Mm-hmm. We know how we live. We're all very organized. Everyone on my team is very organized and very well trained in our method. But our number one priority at Reset Your Nest is to create curated systems that are unique to the lifestyle and the individuals that we're creating the systems for. So we have this whole method and we have the products we like to use, but then we really listen to the client. And that's a whole level of creativity, is not just making it look good, but creating systems that are easy to maintain, which those are different for everyone. So,
and the systems, to your point, if you have a system, it works only as good as you are at like facilitating the system.
Yes.
Right. I have a habit. I go to the gym in the morning. I can get up, leave the lights off, get dressed in the dark because I know where everything's mm-hmm. at. Like, but it's because I have that system, right? If you don't have those systems, then, it starts to lose over time. Kind of like you're saying, you know, some of your kids have systems, but it takes a little bit to kind of get back to the system. They deviate from the system.
And I think sometimes it's interesting. I have clients tell me often, I've reorganized my pantry, every few months for years. I mean, I just have to reorganize it.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones doing it. There is a definite skill set to creating systems that will last. And I think the reason why my kids have to create new systems is because they think that they can create systems for themselves. And my husband even does this too. You and he are very different. When he creates his own systems, I think it's good for an individual to try and do it, but oftentimes it's just different having an expert who knows really what they're doing to come in and create the systems. A pantry, I believe, should be designed once, and then maybe labels change, your kids outgrow the school lunch making stage or you go get on a health kick and now you want a protein state, a protein smoothie station or whatever it is. But in general, it should not be a project every 3 or 4 months. It should just be what it is
for
the lifetime of the home.
I agree. I have a friend and so on the construction side, we have systems of organizations, and I've ran a few people kind of through it. And, I had a friend just say, who's also a contractor. Where did you learn this? Where did you come up with this? And I'm like, this is how my mind works. Because if it's not like this, it's in chaos to me, right?
Yeah.
And I do think to your point, and even me, as I've thought about, like my personal organization, and looking at a remodel with, working with the designers, and we haven't gotten too far down the road, but I'm like, okay, we're going to have to bring Jen in and her team because I'm not sure I have the tools necessary to like really do my kitchen how I want, right? I know what I want it to look like, mm-hmm. but I need that help to like, when I open that drawer, that's like the function of it.
I love that. And I love that you're thinking that way because we love working with designers and builders. It's hard because our magic really comes in maybe right before and for sure right at the time of a move.
Yeah.
But there's this window before cabinet plans are drawn where even though if you're working with a closet company or a custom cabinet designer and a great interior designer and a great home builder, so much experience that you're bringing to the table, but we love to just have our input and show up as an advocate for the client in a few ways right then and there, just to share some ideas or maybe even look at plans and say, okay, now remember, this person doesn't just have 200 pairs of shoes. 80 of them are really tall boots. Like, where are those boots
going? Where are they going? They're not going to fit.
Yeah.
Which I think is tremendous because I tell people and now that you're telling me this, it makes sense. But a lot of the clients we start working with, I say, look, if it looks like it belongs in a magazine, there's a whole team behind that. Right. Mm-hmm. I say, I can build a tremendous empty room. But there's nobody posting pictures of empty rooms on Instagram. And if they are, they're not getting any likes because it's like, oh, that's an empty room. But there's, the designer, the stylist, the furniture, like everything. And now that you're saying that, I think even further to make that space super custom, make it extremely functional for those specific clients. Because I would imagine when you do a consultation, you're going in and saying, okay, how do you use this mixer? Oh, we want it to come out of the bottom. You want it on the counter. You're kind of, you know, fleshing some of those things out,
yeah.
which is super helpful. We actually have, I'm thinking of a couple of jobs that we'll have to loop you in on, where we've got cabinet plans from the designers, nothing drawn by the cabinet guys.
Okay.
So we can, you know, massage things pretty easily at this point, but
yeah,
we'll have to, we'll get
we'd
you some,
love that.
Yeah. We'll get
we
you
can make things
plans.
Amazing at the time of the move-in, but those jobs where we've had just a little bit of input before,
makes
it a lot easier. Then we don't have to get super too creative. The creativity's
yeah.
already been managed before the build.
I think for a lot of people, it's like, oh, well, I'm putting a refrigerator there, so I'm getting the specs. You guys would be like the specs behind, this is what they have, this is what they need, this is what they want, right?
Yeah.
Because I think people think big things. Oh, I want this oven, I want this refrigerator. But, you know, to your point, 80 boots. Okay, well, where are we putting 80 boots when we've got, shoe shelves that are 8 inches tall,
yeah.
right?
Or we'll just make sure they're adjustable and then we can
yeah.
come in. Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
That's actually, that's very, very cool. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And obviously you guys work within whatever space you have, but
yeah.
having that little bit of, influence,
yeah.
I'm sure just makes it even that much better.
Absolutely. Especially if you're already building a custom home, let's just make sure it's really, really
yeah.
custom.
Okay. So you got, you kind of got into this, you'd mentioned, hey, your husband had lost his job. I think it was right at COVID, right before COVID, around
right
COVID.
Before COVID. It was right before Christmas. So it was 2019.
Which is never a good time to
no.
lose a job right before Christmas.
No, it was not.
So this 2019, had you already started doing some of the organization stuff just as like kind of a hobby, or where were you with it?
I had never
time?
Charged for it. I had always done it for friends, done it for my mom. My mom would always want my help.
Okay.
I had the name Reset Your Nest.
Okay.
A couple years earlier, my husband and I had moved into the home that we're currently in, and it was a 1963 home that had not been touched. The woman had lived in it for decades and decades. And it was great, it made it feel like we could really do a
do
lot
something.
With it. The
yeah.
orange and green carpet and all the fun things. So we remodeled it, and my friends helped me come up with the name Reset Your Nest. Cause I thought, once my kids are in school full time, it would be fun to do something. I love organizing. I love DIY. I like being creative and thrifty and making something out of nothing. Like
yeah.
maybe I'll do something with that, and I should document this remodel process. So they helped me come up with a name. I took like 2 pictures of the remodel, which was a huge bummer because they would have been great before and afters.
Yeah.
But I had the name. So when I really felt this push to start my business, at least I had a name. I heard, because we were on a very tight budget, I didn't have like money I could put into this new business I was starting.
Right.
The goal was to help my family in some way. I heard of Fiverr, where paid $7 and someone on the other side of the world made me a logo because I had the name. I was like, I know I want there to be a house. I'm going to do something with homes.
Yep.
And it's Reset Your Nest. So we need a nest. So came up with a logo, which is fun. I like that
yeah.
part of the story. And
I love the name. I think the name is like, is just spot on.
Thank you. I cannot take credit for it. It was my group of friends that really like brainstormed together, but I've loved it too. I think I always knew that whatever it was going to be, I wanted it to have the opportunity to be bigger than me. So
yeah.
I didn't want it to be like organized with Jen,
Yep.
Jen's organizing. So that was fun, is having it not be location or me specific. I figured out how to put together a website. I'm very not tech savvy, and just started to figure out a game plan for how I could offer this as a service. It's very different level. Doing it for friends and doing it for myself than thinking I'm going to do this at the level where people are going to see value in it
and pay.
Yeah. So that was a process.
So on your, in your model is you kind of, if I understand correctly, you charge kind of for the service and then whatever tools you use to organize, whatever baskets or trays or whatever, that's like a separate charge. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, it all comes on one invoice.
Yep.
And when we estimate a job, we estimate it together.
All
and we actually
yeah.
have 3 things we charge for. So the time in the home spent organizing,
okay.
the product that we bring in. We don't upcharge it. It's just, a different industry than organizing. Yeah. So we still have to go to the container store and buy the bins. And then we spend, different organizers are different, but the way that we do it is we really get to know the client ahead of time, get to know the space ahead of time, take the measurements ahead of time. And so there is a certain amount of time spent designing, planning, organizing, and then then on the day of the project, we show up, you know, ready to go, and we do it all in one day. And so there is a fee for designing and planning. Yeah. So those are the three things.
And I think with savvy clients, they understand that.
Yeah.
Good clients. I say to clients all the time, I say, hey, look, we charge for our pre-construction services because that allows us to give you the time adequate and necessary for your project so that we can give you realistic timelines, realistic budgets. And there are people who don't want to know that. And if you don't want to participate in the pre-construction process, we're probably not the right contractor for you, right? It's similar. You can't really go in and be like, yeah, we'll design it, but we won't do any planning. It's kind of like, that's what makes it go.
Absolutely. And we do offer decluttering services where we actually had someone call this week. They're trying to get a home ready for a listing. It was a real estate agent, and we had a team in the next day decluttering because it's labor. So we do offer those types of services. The outcome is going to look much different than our, you know, full service does. And I think people who want that service and understand that we're delivering an experience and a system and something that really is next level. And so that's part of it.
It is next level. Okay. So back to 2019. 2019, lose the job. where you start your business in 2020. When do you get your first paying client?
In January of 2020.
Okay. So just a short turn.
Yeah. I got really lucky. Just amazing client who I really think just everything you could wish for. She's still one of my close friends. We've done 4 of her homes now. She's just incredible, and we'll always be so grateful for her. And more clients came soon after. The beauty of the situation was that COVID hit. That was a beautiful thing, but it was just me at the time. And so the few first clients I had, there were a handful, I was able to really refine my processes, learn. I mean, I tested hundreds and hundreds of products to really learn what the best products were and in what spaces, and it was just me. And I think other businesses really struggled at that time that were non-essential because you couldn't go in with a big team for a certain period of time, but people were fine with me going in. So even through the height of COVID, I was building my acumen in the organizing industry, and I was learning my processes. I was servicing some really fantastic clients. And then by summer, I felt like it was go time. People were ready for teams to come in. And that's when I started to bring on a few people here and there. By October, I had 5 people working with me regularly and going out on jobs.
So
that was kind of the evolution of building a team.
That's incredible. There probably was not a better point in history to start that business.
I know. I feel really, it's so interesting.
It's timing like a interesting. Tender mercy from the Lord. You're like
100%.
Now you have put all these people in their house. You know, 'cause I think, you know, I'll worry about organizing the garage later. Because I'm not home all day.
Right.
I'm not in and out of the house or in and out of the garage and the refrigerator garage or in and out of the pantry. Because like I'm in and out of it in the evening, and then I'm gone the next day. Where now all of a sudden you put all these people in their house and they're like, oh my gosh, I've got to get rid of it. I got to change this. I got to organize this. And then you have people like just fed up with it going, oh, I need something in my life.
Yes.
I need a change.
Yeah.
You know, by the middle of 2020, you've got a team of 5. You're just kind of going like gangbusters. Is it mostly word of mouth? How much of it at that point was coming in through, you know, were you posting on social channels at that point, or a little bit, a lot?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it was mostly word of mouth. A lot of word of mouth. I think I had 86 followers on Instagram until the summer.
Okay.
And I had a friend or an acquaintance from high school who had, was a micro influencer.
Okay.
Had a little bit of a following, and I offered to go and organize her laundry room for her. She would post about it on Instagram, and I paid for all the products. So I really wasn't even using like Reset Your Nest product, like the nicest product, but I definitely made a big difference. She posted about it on Instagram, and in 24 hours, I think I got like 600 followers.
That's awesome.
And my mind was blown. And someone had seen that story. Like another influencer saw that story and reached out to me and said, we want you to come organize this space. And so that was when a light bulb went off for me of, this is a really great way to get my name out there for people.
The power of social media.
By the end of 2020, I think I had like 15,000 followers. So that was huge. I did a handful of influencer collabs in the fall of 2020 that I feel like really, right now, I really don't do them very often anymore. I don't feel Instagram is not our number one source of clients.
Right.
But for those beginning stages, and I think the mindset of people, especially with COVID, you know, you were talking about people being in their homes and wanting systems. It was just really great timing. And that really helped give me a boost to get me a little more on the map. So,
well, and you know, not only were people in their homes, but they were on social media a lot more.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. They're consuming all that content. So,
yeah. Well, and I also think those channels, you know, from a contractor standpoint, you know, we kind of look at some of that stuff as more proof of work, right? People aren't maybe necessarily getting our contact from those channels, but then they can go to those channels, substantiate proof of work, or, oh, this is what this person looks like. Oh, there's a video. There's real people behind this, not just like a name.
Absolutely. Yes. Proof of work, it shows your work, but it also, yeah, builds a relationship. I had so many clients in those first few years when I was a little more active on social media and when I was going on every job who would say, I feel like I know you already, because they had been consuming my content.
Yeah.
And so that really is a nice way to build a relationship that you don't even realize you're building, you know?
It does kind of like catapult that forward.
Yeah,
for sure. So 2020, you come out of 2020, you're in 2021. I'm assuming your husband's found a job at this point.
Yeah, he actually found a job before COVID hit, which was, you know, a lot of, you use the word tender mercy, a lot of those happened. You know, looking back, it was all supposed to happen the way it did. So, yeah. Great job. We're both working around the clock with four kids. That was crazy, but yes. Yeah.
So it sounded like you guys had some additional hardships, you know, after that with, you know, some additional job losses and things like that. What, when did this kind of take off to where, cause you know, based upon what I'm seeing, I feel like, you know, you're generating probably a healthy income from this line of work. It's highly sought after. When did it kind of just take off? Cause I know at some point you hired a CEO, it became like this national thing. Maybe then it was like, oh, maybe let's just stick more close to home. Walk me through kind of that, you know, what that looked like.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster. I tell people when talking about Reset Your Nest, that it really has looked like a different business every year. And maybe all businesses are like that, but I'm hoping that it doesn't always look like that. Yeah.
It's like, no,
I know who we are. Maybe we have, you know, a plan for growth and scaling, but not like this.
Yeah.
It's definitely been a roller coaster. Yeah, those first 2 years were just such a whirlwind, and there was just such rapid growth. And every day I was getting people reaching out to me who wanted to start their own organizing company or who had already tried to start their own organizing country somewhere else in the world, or not world, but country.
Yeah.
Saying, how did you do it? I want to do this.
Where do I start?
Would you ever franchise? Yeah. Can I be part of this? And I would also be getting questions from people saying, oh, I just wish you lived in New Jersey. I wish you lived in Florida. I want Reset Your Nest to come to my house. And it's like, oh, that's so sweet. And I have a lot of friends now across the country who are organizers that I can refer out to. But I was sharing those sentiments, those two things, to a close friend. And also, another thing that had happened is I realized how passionate I was about the women who were working for me, passionate about what I was providing for them. A lot of them were empty nesters or moms who still had kids at home, but who had been, all of them, the common thread was most of, I think all of them, had been out of the workforce for a long time. They didn't want a full-time job. They didn't even want a part-time job where they said, you have to come in, you know, 5 days a week, even if it's 5 hours. They wanted flexibility because they still were moms or grandmas and wanted to have day with their grandkids. And these amazing women who were such hard workers, so good at what they did. And it was a service that they didn't even know they could get paid to do. Cause like me, it's something we were good at. You could get paid to do it. So I had found a lot of purpose in providing work for these women. So there was that element too. So I was having this conversation with a friend, talking to her about all these people who were coming to me. And this is kind of the long version of the story, but she was really smart, lived in California. She was like, we need to do this. She's very social mission driven. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what if I become your CEO and we actually make Reset Your Nest available across the country for people who want to start their own Reset Your Nest, and
like a franchise or something.
The first idea was a franchise. Yeah. And then we also provide the services for the people who want the services. Like, this is going to be great, and work for women who want the work. And so we for 2 years, we really ran at, we first ran at franchises. We realized that with franchises, you couldn't control the hourly rate of the people who are working for you, because the franchises kind of, they function independently from each other.
Right.
And because of the social mission aspect, we really wanted to ensure that everyone working for Reset Your Nest was receiving really fair
pay,
above market wages.
Yeah.
So we went down that road, and then we pivoted and we decided to start up regions in different areas. At one point we had 9 locations across the country. That was really expensive and really hard. And we learned so many lessons along the way, but where Utah was a product market fit, and it was just this, you know, it still was an evolution. It took me some time.
Yeah.
It was fast, but it took time to build a clientele and a reputation. It wasn't happening as quickly as we hoped it would. We were hoping the Reset Your Nest brand would speed things up even more. So then I acquired a business in May of 2022. Was it 2023? And that was amazing. It was this company in Denver, Socorro Solutions. She's still one of my closest friends. We're a business partner in another thing we're doing.
Okay.
She's amazing. We acquired her company. It was incredible. It was this great partnership.
And what's her company?
Socorro Solutions. Her last name is Socorro. So that's the name of her organizing company.
So it's another organizing company. Okay.
And so then as the other building up the regions was struggling, we're like, okay, we're going to acquire organizers across the country. That's how we're going to do it. Cause we want to acquire brands who already have a presence, already have clients.
They have the system in place.
Right. Like, we'll just bring them under our wing. We can consolidate overhead costs, you know, cut overhead expenses, streamline them more so that we're not these silos paying for all these different things, which is really what the organizing industry is these solopreneurs. And we tried that for like 8 months. This is way too long of a story, but we tried a lot of things. And then in winter of 2023, so it's just been a year.
Okay.
We got together. We were helping launch this book that I was featured in. It was really exciting. We were in the Bay Area where the author Shira Gill lives, and we had this fun event. So we were all there together, my CEO and then Stephanie Socorro and myself. And we just had a heart to heart and just said, you know, we've tried all these different ways to make this idea work, and it's just not working.
Yeah.
We had such a great thing going in Utah. Reset Your Nest has a reputation. We have an incredible team there. We have incredible clients there in Utah, and we are trying so hard to make this idea that sounded lovely work. And it's just, I don't know if it's not the right time for the industry or if it's just not. So we just decided then and there that we were going to go back to, with all of our learnings, but go back to what had been 2 years previous. So,
well, I think
that's the journey.
You know, you made the comment, you learned a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I had an opportunity where we built all over the country.
Did you?
And, we were in over 20 different states and
oh, wow.
It learned a lot, right? It went down in a in a fiery crash.
I'm so sorry. Sometimes it feels that way. Let's pretend that it went down with like, I don't know, something different.
Yeah, but somebody asked me the other day, like, would you go back and do it over again, right? Or and, you know, I said, I think that what I learned during that time period, right? Being all over the country, like spreading your wings, pushing, you know, outside of that comfort zone, really like has put you where you are today, right? And a year removed, you know, if you were to go back, would you change anything?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, the relationships built, I mean, even this relationship with Stephanie Sikora and other organizers across the country, I feel like I'm and the team I have right now, there were a handful of team members that stepped away with all the unknowns and the ups and downs and the changes that were happening with Reset Your Nest. But the team I have with me now, they are, I know they are loyal. They are just the best. And so there are things that really did come out of it that I feel like we're in a good place. As for like providing a really great, I was thinking about your first question about providing this great life and income for my family because of all the ups and downs, like we're still getting there.
Okay.
I have hope and I'm determined to.
Well, you're still new. I mean, you're only a few years into
it. Yeah. And I am determined to show, I think something that's, this is a newer industry. And I think as a whole, our industry is learning how this can be more than a jobby, and how women, it tends to be women, but how anyone can actually make real money from this industry. We know that it can be valued and that people will pay a premium for it. But when you're running a real business, like can it support a family?
Yeah.
And I'm determined that it can, but I'm still working on that. So,
yeah. Well, you know, the Container Store has done a good job making a lot of money just selling organizers, right?
Yes.
So definitely to your point, I think that it's a growing industry. It's a new industry, but I feel like you've done more in 4 years than most businesses do in 10 or 15 years.
That's nice
right?
of you.
And you know, so we're excited to see kind of where you go over the next couple of years. And, you know, obviously you've traveled a lot in that 4 year time period, you know, sharing with us kind of the ups and downs. And, and, you know, so Stephanie, is she back in Denver, just kind of took over her own business again, or is it still Reset Your Nest? Or
she is back to being Sikora Solutions. Okay. Her business is doing great. I hope better than ever. I do feel like, you know, we learned a lot from each other. We continue to be friends, and I hope and think our businesses are both in a better place from having come together. And then,
So you talk about this great team. Obviously most of them are women.
Yeah.
How do you go about finding some of those team members? Because you mentioned, like, you know, some of them are maybe empty nesters, or they've just got a couple kids at home. They don't want to be working a 9-to-5, or even maybe 5 days a week, or a part time. Like, hey, you got to be here from 8 to 3 or something. How is it you kind of go about finding those people?
That one I feel bad about. So the business I have with Stephanie Sikora is it's a consulting business for professional organizers.
Okay.
And I get asked this question a lot, and this is the one that I feel bad answering, because other ones is like, oh, just follow this formula, or here's the process, or I'll share everything. And with my team, they have just come to me. I've been so lucky. I actually get reached out to constantly still in Utah, and we're not hiring right now because we have a really large team, but constantly asking if I'm hiring, can I have a job? So I've just been really, really lucky. At the beginning, it was like two of my mom's closest friends work for me, and I knew them when I was a kid. Like they, they were my church leaders. And, and so at the very beginning, it was very close to home. And then it was a friend of a friend. And then it was people reaching out on Instagram, but, people who had followed me and wanted a job, and it happened to be a time when I needed someone. And so, it's just been really organic.
Just a little bit of luck.
A lot of luck, I would say, with my team.
You know, I always say there's it's always a little bit of luck, but I firmly believe that people create their own luck, right? You're out there, you're working, you're doing. I mean, I still am kind of like, I'm a little bit exhausted thinking about like what you've done in the last 4 years, right? Where I'm like, well, okay, she did this and this and this, and I'm just thinking, man, and what I think has been good, you know, from an outsider looking in, is you were able to recognize like, hey, this isn't the right path. and move away from it when necessary. I do feel like sometimes people will get on this path and they'll just continue to beat it and beat it and beat it and beat it and beat it. And years later, they're just, you know, they haven't really seen the success or the growth or things that they wanted to. It's not for lack of trying, but it's, you know, I think it's having the foresight to look at it and say, hey, we need to change directions here, right?
Yeah.
We need to what's best for the company, do what's best for us.
Yes. First of all, thank you for validating that it sounds exhausting, because I feel like just hearing you say that, it's like, oh, it's okay to be tired, because I am. So I don't mean to pretend like that this isn't taking a toll. You know, yeah. It really does. But, and yes, I do think it takes a lot of courage and foresight to know when to pivot and to give in. And I don't know if I can take credit for that. I really think I learned that from my CEO, and I appreciate her having the courage to do it, because I think I tend to be the person that's like, let's just try another way, or let's just keep going. Let's just give it another month, another month, another month. Yeah. And because of her, I'm learning that there's so much value in just in making the change, in not giving up, but recognizing when something isn't working. And just pushing forward. I feel like I'm just a pusher. We're just going to push through this. And so I appreciate my CEO, and she really was the one behind recognizing that things weren't working, but I've learned from that too. So I hope I can continue to make good decisions when things aren't working.
You know, I think it's hard because nobody wants to feel like I'm giving up on something.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're all fighters, right? And entrepreneurs.
Yeah, we're all fighters. And it's like, I tell people all the time, and you know, even these young kids, I had an opportunity to speak to a class at Jordan Tech, an architect class. And, you know, I just said, hey, people will pay you to solve their problems, right? You got to be a problem solver.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can solve problems, people will pay you. And I think that creativity, solving people's problems, and that like can-do attitude is what the construction industry is made of, you know. And I lump you in the construction industry, even though maybe, you know, obviously you do a lot of like, you know, existing homes and things like that. But there is kind of this whole, you know, building a new home, remodeling, organizing, it kind of just goes all the way through.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything.
That is like you said, we'll do any stage. If you've lived in the house for 20 years, we'd love to organize your home. Your home probably needs it. But
yeah,
that transition of moving into a new space, especially a custom home, like what you're building.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine a better treat. You have this home that has been designed for you, that you've planned and looked forward to for years. Probably takes a couple of years to process. And then the idea that we make it possible so when people move in, they don't even ever need to see a cardboard box. They just reach over where it feels like the scissors should be, or they're ready to make chocolate chip cookies, and it feels intuitive that they can do what they love to do with their family, and they don't even have to think about that burden that really does. It can take months to unbox all the boxes, but I really think it can take years for some people to create the systems where a home feels natural. And so we love being part of the build process. It's really fun.
Yeah. To move in. I remember, I had an opportunity to serve a mission in Chile, and, you know, the mission president said, you know, unpack your bags. Right.
Right. When you get there.
Don't live out of a suitcase. Like,
that's good
unpack
advice.
Your bags.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that scenario, you never know, like, oh, I'm going to be here for 90 days, or I'm going to be here for 120, or I'm going to be here for 30 days, right? You don't really know. But he, you know, his comment of like, unpack your bags.
Yeah.
And to your point, it can take people years to really fully unpack and move into their space and utilize their space, you know, to the fullest of its capabilities, I guess.
Yeah.
As you're kind of coming into this, you know, your second full year, I guess this would be, right? Because you did 2024.
Uh-huh.
It's just you, and you're no longer connected with the CEO. You're kind of the boss. Is that how that all shook
out?
Yeah.
Okay. So I own 100% of Reset Your Nest, and we got a new CRM, a new website, a new work payroll provide, like everything, because we were set up to scale nationally.
Yeah.
And that was not.
So you kind of scaled it back a little bit.
All new systems. It was it felt like a new year of rebuilding, but with all the knowledge I had gained. So that's what last year was.
So now you're in the beginning of year number two.
Yeah.
And how's this year looking? and what plans or things are you hoping to accomplish this year that maybe will shake it up a little bit, or maybe share some insights with that. And then I've got maybe one other question as we kind of wrap up.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Excited especially because I think in those years I had my CEO, scaling to me meant bigger. It meant the nation, you know, like how many locations. And last year we added decluttering services. I had this amazing decluttering KonMari master, which is like a whole thing in the organizing world.
Okay.
Come to me. She had run her own business for like 6 years and she wanted to be part of Reset Your Nest. So we opened up these services. So we offer decluttering services, launched a membership program. So we did add to our offerings last year. But what I've been really getting my head around is how can we scale? How can we grow? Knowing that I want to keep it in Utah. We'll travel and do jobs. We're doing a job in Colorado in a couple of weeks. But my team is here. We are here. But I still think there's so much opportunity for growth and finding needs that can be filled by our unique services that we offer. So 2025, I'm really hoping to continue to work more with home builders and designers. They just are... It's amazing when I find it's actually, you're a very rare breed. I feel like finding home builders, designers, they get it and they see the value that we can bring just to their offering and then for sure to what their clients are experiencing. But
yeah,
home builders, it's been a little bit harder sell. So I'm really glad to know you, Brandon.
I think, most contractors have a hate relationship with designers. Because, unfortunately there are designers and I'm sure some organizers that make their life more difficult. And I always say, a good designer makes me look just incredible.
Yeah.
Right. Cause then it's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And we always tell our clients, I say, hey, look, we're not designers. The project's going to go way smoother. You bring your designers in. And now, we'll for sure want to start to loop you in and say, hey, here's the team. We've got the organizing team, the design team.
Yeah.
We have our preferred vendors and we don't force anybody, but we do offer because we feel like those preferred vendors we work with make our life so much easier. Yeah. We actually offer a discount and we say, hey, here, we'll give you this little discount off of our fee if you go with them.
Yeah. Right?
Which hopefully if they're, getting maybe a bit or two, it helps offset maybe if there's a little bit of a difference or they're kind of also, understanding the value of like, okay, well they're saying this is so important that they're like willing to take, a little bit of a discount, because it's so important and it really truly is.
That's so awesome. I love that. Hopefully, I hope to find more people who value it like you do.
Hopefully, the podcast and some of the things that we're working on will help, drive education to the industry and things like that.
Yeah.
So if you had to give advice to somebody starting their own business, starting their own organization business, what would that advice be? And what do you think is the biggest pitfall you would tell them to look out for?
I think my biggest piece of advice, and this might sound a little corny, is putting good energy out there. It's the people who, I really think that is the one thing that's impacted my business the most, is genuinely wanting to help, whether it's my competitors or approaching home builders or designers. I want to be business minded. I want to have a viable business, but whether it's the people who work for me and then especially my clients having their best interest in mind, really showing up with a service mindset. How can I serve? How can I show up for you? How can I help this person, however they're interacting with me and with my business? It's just, I feel like that has made the biggest impact on my business and has reset your nest on a trajectory that I never could have imagined with growth and just the opportunities that have presented themselves to me because of my trying and still feeling like you get sucker punched, because that's going to happen with all the people I just listed. Yep. Not everyone is going to take your good energy and say, great, I'm not going to, you know, whatever. We don't need to talk about those experiences. But I do think that that has made a big impact. As far as a pitfall to avoid, maybe, I mean, I think the list of lessons learned, we'll just call them that, is much longer than my list of accomplishments, which I'm also proud of, but much longer. I think the biggest lesson I learned the first few years, and it's funny, I'm still learning it, is that when you are the business owner and you see a little bit of success, it's super motivating, which is really great.
Yeah.
But it's really easy to get sucked into that being the most important thing, not the success, but just the business. Mm-hmm. And, for a long time, my health, my weight, my sleep, my relationships with my spouse, my kids, like, I get emotional every time I think about, like, I'll never forget my oldest saying, like, Mom, I really miss the mom you used to be. Like, I miss that mom. And it was just like, I don't know what to do with that. So I wish I could have those few years back where I really, like, I wasn't sleeping. I was on my computer. I still am on my computer a lot. Yeah. I'm still on my phone a lot. I work on my phone. I always tell my kids, I'm not doing what you're doing on your phones. I'm actually working. but it, I think the successes will still come, and maybe even it's a little slower trajectory, setting boundaries early on. And we talk to our clients all the time, like, what's your intention of this space? What are your priorities? How can we make you live the life you want to live in your home?
Yeah.
It's the same. I didn't set out building my business with the intention of what's the life I want to live. I definitely just let my entire business rule my life for a few years. And every now and then I see it, myself slipping into those trends. And so I have to get back to know what's the most important here. I need to prioritize, you know, healthy eating and my spirituality and my kids and all those things. So yeah, I think that's the easiest pitfall, is just getting sucked into. It's so easy to get sucked in. And there will never be enough time to get all the things done on your list as a business owner.
Never.
Never.
Enough time.
And you'll always be 100 emails behind and however many messages and text messages, and it's just, it's part of it, and that can wait till tomorrow. Like,
yeah.
So
no, I appreciate that. I think, as I'm listening to you speak, and, you know, maybe you can confirm, but that kind of learning that, or, cause I imagine obviously you look back and say, oh, maybe that's something I could have redone, but you know, here you are today and you're looking back, recognizing, say, that's something that I want to change. That's something that I've improved. That's something where I've made, you know, hey, the messages can wait, right? I have my children, or my, you know, my husband, my, you know, the loved ones in my life. For me, I think that that's, you know, maybe your nailed it moment where you said, look, this is, I love what I'm doing, but I have this family here, and what I'm doing is in part for them. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think you have an incredible story. We're looking forward to working with you. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. As you know, like, you know, I know in the back of my mind, probably in the back of your mind, it's like, oh, okay, you know, there's, you know, 20 messages, calls, like, right? And so we recognize, like, your valuable time, and appreciate you taking time out to come and join us on the Nailed It podcast today. And we're looking forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you. I am too. This is such an honor, and so nice to get to know you better. This is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about Nailed It. This is a great platform. So.